Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. On the eve of the NFL draft, Eric DaCosta has made another big move with an extension. Last year was the record-setting deal with Lamar Jackson. This year, an extension with wide receiver Rashad Bateman, putting him under contract in Baltimore through the 2026 season. I'm Ryan Mink. I'm here with Garrett Downing, and we're going to break down what this extension means, give you our reaction to it, and also what it means for the Ravens draft coming up this weekend. So, Garrett, just first thoughts on the Bateman extension.
Oh, look, well, there's a move that happens right before the draft. The initial reaction is, whoa, like I felt the same way last year when the Ravens signed Lamar Jackson to that long-term deal. We're sitting here talking about which offensive tackles the Ravens may like, and all of a sudden now a Bateman deal gets done. And I think this one really was, you know, particularly kind of catches you off guard just because this was not one that the Ravens had kind of said, that Eric DaCosta has said previously, like, hey, we're working towards this.
We all knew the Lamar deal was in the works.
Yeah, like, we all knew that one was, there was a long process that led to that.
That was a matter of when, not so much if.
Correct.
This was a matter of if.
Correct. Totally. And so, before this deal, you know, the fifth-year option decision was looming for the Ravens and Rashad Bateman. It was May 2nd,
right,
was the deadline for that. So, that's right around the corner. And I think, and DaCosta was asked about that at the pre-draft press conference, did not answer what the decision was on Bateman or Adafi Owe. And so, yeah, I think we were all debating, do the Ravens pick up that option? What's the implication of that? And so now they get this extension done. It extends him past that for one extra year. So they basically tack a year on past that fifth year option. And, you know, this is a the Ravens now have, they go into this year and the next 3 years with their top two receivers in place. It's Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, and they're going to roll with those guys. The Ravens said previously that they felt Bateman was going to have a breakout season. DaCosta has spoken highly of him. John Harbaugh has spoken highly of him, and their belief that he can have a really good season. And then this extension is a testament to that belief.
Right. We haven't seen what the numbers are, the reported numbers on are on what this extension are. I'm interested to see what that is. The fifth-year option, according to overthecap.com, for Rashad Bateman was going to be $14.3 million. So to me, this move would indicate that his cap number is going to be below that for 2025. You know, he might get a pay increase for 2024. I don't know how it impacts 2024. But generally speaking, I think it's safe to say Rashad Bateman's first 3 years in Baltimore have not gone according to plan.
Right.
When they used the first round pick on him in 2021, this is not how what they either side envisioned. Right. But now he gets a longer runway to kind of realize that great potential that they saw in him when they made him a first round ppick. And that great potential exists. We've seen that in flashes. As everyone knows, injuries have really hampered this guy in his first 3 years. I mean, really his first two. He had the hernia surgery his rookie year, knocked him out for the first 6 weeks in training camp and all that stuff, which really sets you back as a rookie. Right? Trying to adjust to the league. And then he suffers a foot injury after six games. Really, before six games, he tried to play through it and couldn't, had foot surgery. That derailed his sophomore season, much of it.
It basically wiped out his second season.
Exactly. Then he really had kind of a long road working his way back from that, even before last year. Had troubles in training camp, had to kind of hit the brakes a little bit on his comeback, and was pretty candid that, he was going through some stuff early this past season. So The good news is that even though last year he didn't have big time production from a receiving standpoint, from a statistical standpoint, he was healthy.
Yeah.
Right. By the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And you saw him on an upward trajectory and you saw more flashes of that talent of what could be with Rashad Bateman. And now they have a contract in place where the Ravens are going to be able to see what he can be.
Yeah, absolutely. There will be no doubt about that. And I think the injuries that he had, like, I think that you do need to, like, those were serious injuries. Like, you need to, yeah. I remember back in his rookie season, we do our pregame live show and Torrey Smith is on that. He said he had a core muscle surgery in his career. And he just, at the time, even before Rashad Bateman was back on the field, he would say, like, that is an incredibly difficult surgery to come back from. Like, I didn't feel right for a long time after that. And so Bateman misses six games, but then even when you get back, like, that is, it's not, you're back and you're 100% and you're good to go. Like, it is a long process. And then the Lisfranc, like, that's a major injury. Jimmy Smith talked about it. Hollywood Brown talked about how it really altered his entire career. Like, that is, that's really a 2-year injury. And so it missed, basically cost him his sophomore season. Then he came back last year. By the end of the year, he was healthy. And I think looking more and more like the player who the Ravens expected when they drafted him by the end of the season. And like, when you look at some of the advanced metrics on him, like, he was getting open last year. Yeah. And I think that, like, that's the potential you're talking about.
I think that's the key, right? Is that when you really look at it on film, you say, man, this guy, like, he can be a very good productive receiver. The talent is there. The tools are there. We've seen it. It's just the ball hasn't come his way or whatnot. A lot of those instances, right? Like, he was getting more separation according to Pro Football Focus than a lot of the top receivers in the NFL. He's like right on par with Tyreek Hill, you know, in terms of separation. Now, for whatever reason, he just didn't get the ball a ton. Right, whether he wasn't one of the first reads in the route progression or whatnot, you know, that is something that's going to change moving forward. Now, the Ravens also had Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. on the team last year, not, you know, also including Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, like, they had those guys. Now, with Odell Beckham not returning, Rashad Bateman's going to get more of those looks his way. Mm-hmm. And if he keeps getting open at the rate at which he was getting open last year, he could have a very productive season in 2024. And then you're looking at it, it's like, all right, I'm really glad because, you know, picking up that fifth year option at 14.3, when you look at it on the surface right now, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Based on the production that you've seen right now. But if Rashad Bateman has a very productive 2024, and then you have him under contract for two more seasons beyond that at a reasonable number, okay, you know, that really works. Mm-hmm. And this gives, for Rashad, it's like, all right, now you really have have more guarantees up front. Like, your future is more certain by signing this extension, right? We don't know the numbers, but anytime you're a player that gets an extension, the Ravens have drafted a lot of first-round receivers, and he's the first one to get an extension.
Yeah.
Hollywood Brown didn't get one. Right. And other guys, right? Rashad Perryman didn't get one. And so, like, to get that security is good for Rashad Bateman. And now he knows he's with Lamar Jackson, 2-time MVP.
Yep.
He's in a system he knows. Like, he is in a place that should allow him to flourish and really realize that potential.
Yeah. The other thing last year, like, the overall production for him was limited, but that's also, we talked about the injury piece. He worked his way back to full strength over the course of the season. But the Ravens added all these other pieces to further invest in the receiving core last year, because 2 years ago, they kind of went all in on Bateman going into that season, and then he got hurt. And the receiving core was really in a bad spot that season. So then the focus coming out of that year was obviously getting a deal done with Lamar Jackson and then also putting more weapons around him. Well, they did that. They added Nelson Aguilar. They, of course, signed Odell Beckham Jr. They drafted Zay Flowers in the first round. So they invested heavily in the receiver position. So, you know, Bateman was, his opportunities were more limited last year. Now, going into this season,
And they knew he was coming off the foot. You just couldn't put all your eggs in that basket when you know he's coming off. They know how serious that surgery is too.
Right.
And he's coming off that.
So now there's more, he's just going to have more of an opportunity this year. Like, he'll get more snaps, he'll get more targets, he'll be a starting receiver.
Yep.
Him and Zay Flowers are going to be the starting receivers this year.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a big jump. And I think that, like, that's an opportunity that he is looking for. The Ravens have felt like, since they drafted him, this is a guy who can absolutely be a starting receiver, highly productive player. And they haven't like lost faith in that potential. They basically, yep. it's always just been a question of, can you stay healthy? Now they think he's healthy.
Well, and he did. He played 16 games last year, right? So he fought through it early to his credit. Like he fought through it early in the year and then he finished healthy, like healthy. Right after he got through fighting through that. So like he deserves credit for that. He proved it that he can stay on the field.
Yeah.
Now that's not a guarantee of it moving forward. He's still got to do that. And you know, looking at the videos of him in workouts this offseason, it looks like the dude's working hard, you know? And so like, yeah, I think that they've always believed in Rashad Bateman's talent and last season proved to them that this guy can do take the steps necessary to stay on the field, and he's in a good place physically. They've seen what, you know, the separation that he's getting and all that stuff. Like, the stars are aligning for the Rashad Bateman breakout, and the Ravens are betting on that now.
Yep. So how does this impact their draft strategy? We'll answer that question when we come back from this break. We're coming to you from the SeatGeek studio here on the Lounge Podcast. We also want to give a shout out to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. They are an official sports betting partner of the Baltimore Ravens. They've got a limited time offer running right now that you don't want to miss. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the promo code FLOCK. If you are a new user, you can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You need to be 21 years or older to play and physically present in Maryland. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. So the draft is Thursday night. We are doing a live episode of the Lounge Podcast from the Ravens draft party, which is an event, a ticketed event for a select number of PSL owners. So that's going to be an exciting time. That's going to be at 7:30 p.m. So even if you're not there in the house at the event, you can still watch us give you a full preview of what to expect on the draft Thursday night. You can watch that on our app, our website, our YouTube channel. Again, that starts at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday. So we dropped our 7-round mocks earlier today. And if you haven't listened to that full podcast, go back and do that. But this is an opportunity to clown on you. Like, this is the opportunity to clown on you.
I think
you.
Eric DeCasas,
he was waiting.
He was waiting till, till I put out my mock, and then he was like, yeah, I'm going to blow that up.
Yeah, so.
So this is, I mean, I think really what it is until Thursday, it's not locked.
Yeah.
It's not locked.
Oh, it was locked.
So this is, this is an unlock. This is, I've got the skeleton key. I come in, unlock it. Minker with it one more time and then lock it back in.
Yeah, so you locked it in already and you took a Donnie Mitchell in the first round, a wide receiver, first round wide receiver in your 2024 mock.
Yeah.
I think that once again, you know, 15 years running, you're going to be wrong on your first round pick.
That's not true. I think I've gotten a first round pick. I got Jimmy Smith. It's been a while.
Okay.
I think I might have gotten
13 years ago. Sorry, I said 50.
You know what? I hit Hayden Hurst.
Okay.
So that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, that was not that long ago. Okay, so there
we go. Bingo. All right.
But you've been on,
I've been on a dry spell recently.
It's been rough. So that is going to,
it's not
like
looking good. Okay. It's not looking good for a Donnie Mitchell and the Ravens, the chances of them meeting. Here's where I say, Donnie Mitchell was really the 11th hour pick for
me. You start making excuses. Here we go.
I was, at first, I was all in on the Amarius Mims train. I was all about that. And then it looks like he's going to go too soon. So I got out of that. It feels like the tackles, there's going to be a run on tackles. So then I pivoted to McKinstry, right? The cornerback. How could I not say his full name? First name. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback from Alabama. That was really the direction I was going. And then 11th hour, I was just like, you know what? Let's go with the wideout.
Yep.
BPA. And that's not going to be the case anymore.
I got, this is where I have to, a good friend of the lounge, one of the all-time friends of the lounge, Jim Kohler, our VP of finance, stopped me today and made fun. He said, you got to call out Ryan for how he always gives you the name on the mock, but then he names seven other guys. And then, so just to give him the ability to say,
I told you so.
Yeah, I told you so. Like I called it. And so that's what you're doing.
Kingsley Suamitia and Patrick Paul.
Exactly.
It's
what you're doing
slash.
Right now. You're like, I picked a Donnie Mitchell, but I really wanted Mims, but I also want a Kool-Aid McKinstry. So if
it's Kool-Aid,
three,
okay. If it's Kool-Aid, no, I get credit.
You don't get credit.
If
for
it's Kool-Aid, I get partial credit.
If it's Donnie Mitchell, you get credit. But here, so with this move, in all honesty, I think that like, I would now be shocked if the Ravens, I'd be very surprised if the Ravens take a wide receiver in the first two rounds. I'm not just saying round one. I'm also saying round two. The first two rounds would really surprise you if they end up taking a wide receiver.
I would probably agree with that. Yeah, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, but surprised. Okay. If we're putting on the levels here, yeah. I would be surprised if they took one in the first two rounds.
Shocked in the first round. I would be shocked in the first round.
Shocked first round, surprised second round, third round.
Yeah,
okay.
Third round, I think you're back.
All bets are off.
Yeah, that's where my guy, Brendan Rice, comes into the equation.
Well, there you go. So,
in my mind.
I swear to God, if you hit that, I would be so salty.
But I think that the Ravens won't go receiver early. You know, I think that I think it's always curious when a deal gets done right on the eve of the draft. Like, what is there anything significant to the timing, or is this just when the deal got done? Like, mm-hmm. is there any reason that you know, the Ravens announced it right before the draft, a day before.
Right.
Or is it just this, it just so happened that the two sides agreed to it on the day before the draft. I don't know.
Right.
But I always think that, like, DaCosta loves to play those games behind the scenes, and he's a master at working that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I don't know the full implications of that, but I wonder what the implications will be in terms of what the message it sends to other teams and all that.
Well, in terms of the timing, the interesting thing is, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, mm-hmm. just earlier in the day before this was announced, agreed to a 4-year, $120 million extension.
Yeah.
Receivers get paid.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, the Ravens, with Lamar Jackson's contract and some of their other players who are making a lot of money, like, it's just hard to imagine them ever really paying that kind of top dollar for a receiver when they have when Lamar's on his second contract. Maybe. It's really tough.
Yeah.
It's tough, right? You got to make big cuts from defense and other positions where the Ravens like to have a lot of talent and pay guys. They paid Roquan. They've, you know, Marcus Williams is paid. Like, it's just tough. Mm-hmm. And so if they feel like Rashad Bateman, talent-wise, is every bit as good as Amon-Ra St. Brown and some of these other guys, talent-wise, like, mm-hmm. if he's healthy, the production certainly hasn't matched it to this point. But, like, if they're like, look, we can get a really talented guy, and right now, because of his injuries, like, it comes at a lower cost, then that's an expenditure that makes sense, especially when you see what these, another example of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and, you know, the guy from Philly, just got paid, Devonta, mm-hmm, yeah, Smith. Devonta Smith, he just got paid. Like, these guys in that draft class are starting to get these extensions and get paid. And the Ravens, it's kind of like, based on production, it's kind of a buy low situation right now, mm-hmm. with Rashad Bateman, especially when you look at these other contracts.
Yeah.
And look at what are the Ravens going to be able to afford at the position moving forward. Mm-hmm. It makes more sense when you put all those puzzle pieces together from a timing standpoint, I'm saying, on these contract extensions.
So in terms of the draft, you know, we just said,
I, like, got a, I, guy.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be a top. I don't think it's going to be a receiver in the first two rounds. But what other implications are there for draft weekend?
Well, I have a guy, a wide receiver, like, and it's not your guy, Brendan Rice, Jalen McMillan out of Washington. I think would make sense in the third round for the Ravens if he were to get to that
Jalen
point.
Jalen Polk,
Jalen McMillan.
Oh, okay, Jalen. Okay,
another. There is also Jalen Polk.
Okay, I just want to make sure that it was. Yeah.
Two guys, both Washington receivers, both Jalen's.
Yeah.
So spelled differently.
Yeah.
I like Polk too, but I think he goes a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. McMillan, I think, would be, you know, I start to think about, all right, what are potential Nelly long term, you know, Nelson Aguilar's under contract for another year. Mm-hmm. You know, who could be a guy who maybe steps in as that big slot? You know, because Rashad Bateman's your ex. Mm-hmm. He's under contract through 2026. You have Zay, who moves all over, primarily played outside, but that big slot, guys who run that slot fade, like, who could that be? Jalen McMillan would make some sense there.
Yeah. I think that, I just think that, honestly, this crosses off the receiver position early in the draft, and now you're looking
and
to tackle.
And, like, the type more. You know, everybody was talking about the X.
Yeah, I know.
The Ravens are looking for that X receiver. That's
big. Yeah, exactly. He's big. I mean, he's a 6'1" receiver.
I mean, if you want to get, like, another guy that's not an X, a smaller guy who's really interesting, who, like, feels like a Raven, but to me is not an X, Malachi Corley. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy.
He would be a third round option probably as well.
He would probably be a third round option, like a smaller but muscled up. Like, you know, he's like a different version of Zay Flowers.
I think that when James Ogden, we had him on the podcast, he called him, like, another version of Devin Duvernay, like a similar, mm-hmm. type of player. So I think that the Ravens could go like that mid-round receiver option. Like I'm not crossing off receiver from them drafting a receiver at all over the course of draft weekend. I think it just pushes it down the board, and I think it makes it. I think we're looking at basically in that first round, you're looking at tackle, corner, potentially pass rusher if they feel like there's a pass rusher who's there that really makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think it's basically tackle or corner in the first round. That's what you're looking at.
That would be the most probable. And all the latest reports.
What else would it be?
Yeah, I mean, those would be the ones.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I think it's tackle, corner, or edge.
Yeah.
It kind of narrows it down to that.
Right.
I mean, defensive tackle, like we've said, would be a real surprise. Mm-hmm. So, I think tackle, corner, edge, trade back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, according to all the reports, the media buzz from Daniel Jeremiah and others, it's like everybody's looking to trade up to get a tackle. Mm-hmm. And hey, maybe the Ravens are one of those teams that are looking to trade up and get their guy at tackle because the need is so obvious. Maybe, right? And Washington's going to look to move up into the back end of the first round, I bet, and take a tackle. There's a bunch of teams that are looking to get there. You know, the Cowboys, the Packers are all in on the offensive lineman game. They could be at center or tackle. There's just a lot of teams. And so if those guys come flying off the board, that pushes players at other positions down, and maybe it's corner. Like I said, Kool-Aid's my pick. Kool-Aid McKinstry's my guy, so I'm sticking with my pick.
I think that if a corner gets pushed, I think Kool-Aid would, I would have no qualms about that. I also think that Nate Wiggins from Clemson, we have not talked about him much at all. Mm-hmm. I think that there's potential that he's there, and if he is, I actually think that he could, he might be the more likely pick over Kool-Aid in my mind.
Interesting. I think Kool-Aid, to me, feels like more of a Raven than Nate Wiggins.
He's a corner from Alabama, right?
Well, he's a corner from Alabama, and he's a little bit bigger. Wiggins is he's pretty lean. He's pretty lean. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of talk about Emmanuel Forbes in the Ravens last year. Mm-hmm. Forbes had a lot of that was based off his ball production. He had a lot of picks.
Yeah.
But, you know, Forbes had a tough rookie season. Now, whatever, maybe it would have been different in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Wiggins is pretty lean for me.
So, yeah,
it's going to be Wiggins now.
Yeah, just keep missing. Just keep missing.
That's what I do.
This is exciting. It's an exciting way to kick off draft weekend. And we're going to be covering everything over the course of the next few days and all the different moves that get made. And, I can't wait to see how this thing plays out. DaCosta kicks things off with some fireworks once again.
Of course. Well, I saw him, I was in line, I was getting some soup. I was getting a little of the chicken tortilla.
Okay.
Right? Soup. And in comes Eric, right? Strolling through past to get his lunch. I said, hey, Eric. Hey, you know, I said, I bet you're excited. Bet you're ready for this thing to get kicked off. And
he said,
got a little more business before then. Oh, I got the preview. I didn't even know it. I was like, oh, all right, maybe he's working on a draft day trade, something like that, you know, moving up, whatever, working out those trade scenarios. Nah, it was a little different business.
Yeah, he hinted at it. He hinted at it.
I didn't ask the follow-up question. Journalism 101.
I know. I don't think he would have given you much.
I don't think so.
No.
I think he just saw my mock and he was like, well, I got a clown minking again. That's what I do.
Yeah.
He does love clowning reporters. So last year was the whole Ravens aren't going to make a trade.
Yeah.
He like knows that. He does love clowning.
And there's nobody he loves to clown more than you.
Oh, that's for sure. At the top of the list.
Well, we'll have that as one of the top questions when we get DaCosta on the podcast after the draft. So mark that one down. So thank you so much for listening. And again, make sure you check out the live episode of the podcast Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. You can watch that on our app, our website, and our YouTube channel as well. Thank you so much for listening. And stay tuned for a busy weekend ahead of us.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.